You're listening to Insight Special Coverage. I'm Beth Ruriak. Let's talk now about First Amendment rights and what unfolded at that demonstration in Sacramento Monday night. Joining me by phone is law professor John Sims. He is calling us from his office at McGeorge Law School in Sacramento. And Professor Sims, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Hello.
Good morning, Beth. I'd rather be over there at the studio, but there was I ran into a lot of traffic heading over there. So
yeah, we heard that the rain has created a lot of problems for people getting anywhere this morning. How do you see the situation that unfolded Monday night with the demonstration?
Well, I mean, I guess if I had to give an executive summary, I'd say that it looks like there were some serious issues of the judgment that was exercised by the police department in how they dealt with the protest. I mean, just from everything that I've heard, I cannot believe that arresting 84 people under the circumstances that existed that night made any sense. And I suspect that Chief Hahn is, with his people this week, basically saying, how did this happen? And let's make sure it doesn't happen again. Or obviously it's over. There's nothing they can do about what happened on Monday night. But I don't think that anybody is going to defend this and say this is how it should have happened. This showed the best practices for a police department. This is how we plan to do it next time that something like this looms.
Can you put the arrests in the framing of the First Amendment, taking into account that among the many people that were arrested were faith leaders, students, and journalists? That's a big landscape.
Yes, and that of course is part of the issue. But I'd say just beyond that, there's the basic idea that we have a society in which we allow and in fact encourage people to express themselves and to make their views known to their fellow citizens, to the officials, to the world. And of course, the protests more generally on Black Lives Matter and specifically on the killing of Stephon Clark have gotten the world's attention and the legislators' attention and the administrators' attention, and they are changing things. It hasn't happened completely yet, but definitely these protests that started a year ago, right after the killing, have changed things already. And that's why we allow this type of protest, why we allow other protests, why we have to. And the bottom line is that allowing people to express themselves is inconvenient sometimes. It blocks the roads. It creates a traffic jam. The flyers become litter on the streets. We can't get where we want to go because the streets are closed because of the march that's coming down. But the First Amendment principles, which are really elaborate in this area, make it clear that the government has to tolerate a good deal of inconvenience and disruption as long as it's not violent and as long as it's in line with accepted principles. They have to tolerate it. They really have a choice. And at some point, I guess on Monday night, somebody just got irritated or impatient or felt that things were too much of a protest and decided to shut it down for no apparent reason.
I don't, we don't know. We're piecing it together. But my colleague Bob Moffitt just said it seems that maybe it was a miscommunication between the protesters and the police, that protesters were leaving in a certain area and it was misunderstood. I think I should stop because we're still speculating. We don't actually know, and I will be talking to the mayor in just a little bit. But what's the specific law around the free press and journalists being arrested?
Well, I don't know that there's any separate law, but I mean, I guess in the sense that if somebody who is covering an event is physically in the area in which other people are not allowed to be and are being ordered to leave, I suppose it may very well be that the journalist has a right to be there. And But I mean, I would say I just back off and say an issue that came up a few minutes ago is like, what's going to happen with all these citations for everyone? Now, of course, I know Dale Kassler ultimately was detained, but not actually cited. But I am 99.5% sure that we're going to hear very soon that nobody is going to actually be prosecuted, that those citations are all going to be dismissed, because this was an exercise of really bad judgment, and they're not going to want to follow through. You could see, even when there were violent protests at the confrontation between the anti-fascist group and the white nationalist group, where there were people that were attacked and a few people have been prosecuted, you know, that's still dragging on. There are only a few prosecutions there, and it's dragging on years later or a year and a half later. So my view would be nobody probably can be appropriately prosecuted under these circumstances. Those citations are going to have to be dismissed. And certainly a journalist who's on the scene telling us what we need to know, how can we judge whether the police acted appropriately unless we have objective reports there? And that's why Dale Kassler was there and the other reporters that you mentioned were there. And they obviously can't properly be arrested. They can't properly be prosecuted. And they need to tell us what happened so that we can make our own judgments. But I'm 98% sure that there's going to be a universal judgment very soon, if there isn't already, that this shouldn't happen again.
Wait, did you just drop back from 99.5 to 98%?
Sorry.
Just wanted you to know I'm listening.
You know, we law professors deal in that ambiguity.
I'm looking for trends, John. I'm looking for trends. You're listening
but
to...
But also, it was a different proposition. They're not going to prosecute. But what I'm now saying, I believe that the mayor and the police chief are going to say, this isn't going to happen again.
You're listening to constitutional law professor John Sims. He is calling us from his office at McGeorge. I want to just grab a little mention that you gave to the fact that we have a lot of investigations going on right now. We have two investigations out of Monday. We have the ongoing police department investigation by the Attorney General's office just into policy and practices. We had the DA's review, the AG's review of the Stephon Clark case. And now we have a federal investigation that's begun on civil issues. So that's a multitude of work being done on this case. Can you tell me about this federal civil investigation separate from the others?
I don't know anything more about it than just the very cursory report from yesterday. But I would just say that what we hope is going to happen as a consequence of the tragic killing of Stephon Clark is that the Sacramento Police Department, and for that matter, law officers all over California, for that matter, officers all over the United States, are going to say, you know, what should our procedures be? If we get a report that there's somebody in a backyard that may have broken windows, should we be flying the helicopter over there? Should we have the officers chasing the alleged window breaker through the backyard? And under what circumstances? When is the threshold of danger to the community such that we should take this action or that action? Because, of course, if you ultimately end up at the end where there is this confrontation in the dark and it is thought that somebody has a weapon, at that point, as we see, really tragic things can happen. And it may be very hard later to figure out exactly what they were. But the training and the planning and the setting of the policies about policing, and especially, I hope, an increasing emphasis on neighborhood policing, on dissipating this us-them split between police and the members of the community in so many places and in so many situations, that's what has to happen. And of course, the Obama administration Justice Department was heavily interested in the management and the practices of police departments. And so there's some lawsuits that have involved that and settlements that have involved that. The current administration is much less interested in overseeing or even informing itself about what the practices are of policing. So I think the decision by the U.S. Attorney's Office here to look at the episode is a good thing. I mean, I honestly don't believe that it is likely to lead to any prosecution based on what has been publicized already about the investigations and about the circumstances. But the big issue going forward is really about police practices, police training, how to respond to certain events in a way that will minimize danger to the officers, minimize danger to the public, and bring about outcomes that ultimately we can be comfortable with, that we're not going to be reconsidering and protesting about years later. These incidents shouldn't occur.
That's exactly what we're hearing from so many listeners, exactly the focus you just outlined. Well, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for your perspective. I was glad to have your voice on the show today. And as always, glad to have you back on Insight. Thanks, Professor Sims.
Thank you, Beth.
As we go to break here, I do want to let everybody hear the announcement by the Attorney General yesterday. To some extent, it might have gotten lost in all the coverage of the City Council meeting last night, but here is California's Attorney General Javier Becerra making his announcement in the findings of the Stephon Clark case.
Based on our review of the facts and evidence in relation to the law, I'm here to announce today that our investigation has concluded that no criminal charges against the officers involved in the shooting can be sustained. I want to be clear, our investigation was confined solely to an examination of whether the facts of this case were sufficient to establish, beyond a reasonable doubt, whether a crime was committed by the officers. Our investigation and our report do not evaluate or address any issues relating to potential civil liability or law enforcement policies and procedures. Again, nothing can bring back Stephon Clark, and nothing helps end the pain that his family carries.
That was the California Attorney General Javier Becerra yesterday. Sacramento's Mayor Daryl Steinberg is standing by. This is Insight special coverage on CAP Radio. We'll be right back.